Y'all doing all right? Yeah? All right, listen, I'm wound up today. Is that okay? So I need you to be wound up. Is that good, Lily? So you and me and your friends, we're going to be wound up, okay? And so I'm excited to share with you the word. I want to do just two things real quick to review to kind of catch us all up on the same kind of wavelength. Is that okay? You know what a wavelength is? All right, I don't really know what it is, but it's something, okay? And it moves, and somehow we connect to it. But the first week, we're looking at our hero, okay? All of us, whether we like it or not, we have heroes. We have people that we kind of look to, that we see, that we want to live after, that we kind of see as somewhere we want to be, right? We have heroes. Sometimes they're family, they're parents, they're friends, they're maybe influencers, stuff like that. So we've got heroes. The first week, we talked about Jesus, right? Because I believe he is like our hero. If you would let him be your hero, he would do tremendous things in your life. If you would open up your mind and your heart to the true hero, Jesus Christ, I believe great transformation, change, empowerment would come to your life. But the first week we looked at Jesus the lover. Y'all ever love something? Come on now, you know you love something, right? Well, Jesus is the originator of love. Created us in love. Loved us so much that he brought fellowship and communion. And so we looked at what it meant to like really understand Jesus as the lover. And then we kind of moved to last week. And we looked at Jesus, the Son of Man. And you know what that does? That kind of brings it right down to our playing field. We saw and we see Jesus in the Word of God come to life as a man. Experience the same things that we did. Journey through the same emotions and experiences and stuff of life like we do. And so we see the significance of Jesus as the Son of Man and how that relates and speaks to us. And honestly, just in his actions that we see in the Word of God, I don't know that there's anyone else that I would rather follow than follow the words and the example that he showed us here on earth. And then this week, we're going to get to Jesus the King. Can you say King? King. Okay, so you're still with me. All right, well, I want to just kind of journey backwards for a second to ask you, just kind of ask you a question. Are you ready for a question? How many of you love, this is like, I use this in first service, I'm using it again. How many of you love when you get an iced coffee mixed with all kinds of stuff? Let's just say it's a red velvet, or let's just say it's a Trenta iced coffee with 10 pumps of classic. You know whose drink that is, right? 10 pumps of classic, 7 of caramel, caramel drizzle, heavy cream, and that's her Starbucks order, not the one from here. But anyway, I go there and they say, oh, are you Ashley's husband? I'm like, well, yeah. Anyway, then I go on and thank you all, AFC, for letting me go out and be trained and expand my mind and thoughts. And I appreciate that you put that in the budget. But anyway, you come back and someone's used your van for a couple of days. And so there's no lie, right? Four? You were on a trip to Olivet, that's right. Well, anyway, there are cups there, right? Do you know what happens to a Trenta iced coffee with 10 pumps of after it sits in the hot car for 3 days, y'all know? It does what? It separates and it settles. That's the word of the day. Can you say settles? Okay, it settles, and you probably, after it settles, you don't want to what? Consume it. I would not advise it, right? 3 days in the hot car, milk, you know what I'm saying? You ever drink rotten milk? No, you smell it first, right? Come on now, you know you sniff test and like, it's gross. Okay, anyway, it settles. I want to talk to you for a second because what we do in our walk with the Lord is we settle for something other than the King. And what's unfortunate is it's kind of built into us. Well, what do you mean by that, Pastor? Well, when you look way, 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 way back, which is what we're going to do today, you're going to see that there was a huge moment in time when the people settled for an earthly king instead of the King of Kings. So, you got your Bibles, your phone, something? All right, I want you to turn to 1 Samuel chapter 8, and we're going to look at a pivotal moment. Once you have that, even if you don't, why don't you stand, even if you're home, stand for the reading of God's Word. Now, you want some background? Just say yes. Okay, good. I'm glad you did. Here's some background. We understand that, let's just take some key figures. So Moses, right? He was a representative of God. God used him, empowered him. They did incredible things, right? But Moses wasn't a king. Moses was just a leader of the people. Guess who was the king? Oh gosh, say God, okay? All right, those of you that are like, just say it with me, okay, God. And then you see that kind of passed on, and then we see Joshua and others, and then they kind of move into the Judges era, right? In the Old Testament, we get to the book of Judges, and Judges kind of reign over, but God is still king. So God is still king. Then you've got this prophet Samuel. So are you with me? Now we get to the prophet Samuel. He is a tremendous prophet. Great things happen through him, right? And here's what happens. So far, God is the king of his people, and he's got representatives doing his work. Tremendous work, right? And now we get to the end of Samuel's life in chapter 8. Now, anyway, when Samuel became old, he made his sons judges over Israel. The name of his firstborn son was Joel, and the name of his second, Abijah. They were judges in Beersheba. Yet his sons, this is so sad, great man of God, and yet his sons did not follow in his ways, but turned aside after gain. They took bribes and perverted justice. Sad, right? Disappointing. This tremendous man of God, it wasn't passed on to his family. It gets worse. Then all the elders of Israel gathered together, meaning like the people of influence. They gathered together and came to Samuel the prophet and said to him, don't you love when people tell you this? You are old. I mean, we shouldn't do that, right? We shouldn't go to somebody and say, you are old. Well, they gathered together and everybody called them old. They said, you are old and your sons do not follow in your ways. Here is one of the most pivotal moments in the Old Testament because it shifts everything. And today we're going to look at why it shifts everything. A point for us. Then a king to govern us. Wait a minute. God was their king. God was there. God was reigning. Just because two people didn't, it didn't mean that God gave up. But all of a sudden, the people gather and say, we want an earthly king. And here's the worst part of it. Like other nations. So get this before I pray. The people come to a prophet that had done everything God had asked him to do. And it came to be. And then the people come and say, we want a king like them. We want to replace our king with a king that looks like church. Pivotal moment in history. Because if you know your word well, you know the journeys that come from here. You know that they looked at Saul and gave him kingship because he was good looking, not a real good criteria for a leader, right? Good looking, and I'd be out, right? But what I want you to know is that as we go to this, we have pivotal moments where we take the king and say, I'm going to take this instead. God, right now, if you would, God, I do come with anticipation. I do come expecting. But God, I can come in that way and not one other person come in that way in this room. But my prayer today is that many have come with anticipation to hear from your word. And so Lord, if you would hear our prayers as we prepared to get to this place, to this time, to this hour, that you would bless, that you would anoint, that you would move, that you would show us today that you are the great king that sees and hears and knows and has knit us together and that we don't need replacements. And so right now, come in your power. Right now, come in your glory. Come in your majesty. Come and move in this place. Come against the enemy in the name of Jesus. And we ask these things in the mighty name of Jesus. And all God's people said, amen, amen. All right. Think about this for a second, because our first key word is settled, okay? And sometimes settling is good, right? We have this old farmhouse, it's been redone, and it aggravates me because I'm nutty about like paint not being right, so I keep like extra paint, and I go around how often? Too often. It drives her crazy. Like when pertinent things have to be done, she turns around and I'm with the paint thing and she, what are you doing? I'm like, there was a crack and the kids and the, I don't like the paint not to be right. And like the dishes are a mess, the house is a mess. And she's like, this doesn't make any sense, right? But our house is settling. They put in new drywall in a house that's still like settling 100-some years later. And so it cracks and it makes me mad. I stand and paint it. Settling in this sense is not good. Settling in our walk with the Lord is not good. When a young couple comes up and she says to me, well, he only hit me once. Well, then that's the last time he's going to hit you, right? Because you ain't ever going to be around. Well, I love him. What? He don't love you enough to stop. But what do we do in our mind? We rationalize settling. Well, I mean, this is the job I'll always, because it, and it doesn't matter how they fill it in. I mean, this friend is nasty to me, but I'm going to be like Christ. I don't think Christ said step into, but we settle. And for some reason, we take this long, long nature and we apply it to our life and we settle. And so then what do we do in our walk with the Lord? We settle. Church, God, the King of Kings, did not call you or us to settle. When we settle, we get stagnant. When we settle, we get off path. When we settle, we don't see the greatness. We might see the goodness, but we don't see the greatness of God. And God is calling us to see greatness. And church, I believe one of the greatest moments of and examples of this comes out of this scripture. So let's start out. Hold up. Y'all ever say hold up? Yeah. You ever have a situation where like everybody's coming at you and you've got to just draw the line and say, hold up. Everybody quiet down. You ever been in a situation like this? Everybody's in a frenzy. Y'all never been in a frenzy? You ain't in one right now, but you ever been in a frenzy? I'm kind of in a frenzy. You know what I'm saying? I'm wound up. But you have this frenzy going on and you say, hold up. That's kind of what happened here. Now you say, well, that's an odd first point. Well, I want you to think about it in this way. They say to Samuel, hold up, let's change the core of the system. Now see, God does that all the time. He loves to change our core and adjust us to be more like him, right? But this was different. They were saying, hold up, we want to change everything. Let's go after a different king. And interestingly enough, they kind of said these words like other nations. Church, come on now. You should be hooting and hollering, mad. You know why? Because they were saying, hey, let's take what God is. Let's take what he's done. Let's put it aside and let's be like them. Samuel was like, what? What? Thank goodness. I'm like ready to sweat up a storm. Okay. It's nice to have garage doors. You can just, he said, hold up. Hold up. Why in the world would you want to, why would you want to take what and give it away for so you can be like other nations? Now, put yourself in Samuel the prophet's shoes. Can you do that? Can you take yourself and put yourself in someone else's shoes? Imagine a whole life of service and work. Have you ever worked really hard for something and somebody looks at you and says, hey, all your hard work, we really don't want it. Let's put you aside and we'll, you know what that feels like? Crap. I didn't say that in first service. I said in second service, okay? Crap, right? You're pushed aside. It feels yucky. You got to think his whole life he gave and gave and gave, and he was the avenue to God's movement. And they said, we want to be like other nations. You ever say in your life, I want to be like so-and-so? Or I wish I was like so-and-so? Or I wish I had what? Or why don't we? I mean, I want to be like that. When I retire, I want to be able to. You know, I think when we have that kind of mindset, we might be running after the wrong thing. Unless the person we're looking to is filled with the Spirit and living out the qualities, the characteristics of Jesus. And so, I'm pretty sure when they came to Samuel, a man who gave his life to the Lord, who God used, and they said, hey, let's go a different direction. He was like, hold up. What do you mean? You know, I believe that the Lord does the same thing to us. When we come to him and say, I want something else other than your best, he's got to say, I've given you my... Since when are God's children? Since when are his daughters and sons like... This really displeased Samuel. Let's go to verse 10. You all got your Bibles? Let's go to 8. Go to verse 10. I like this. Conversation between God and Samuel. Ever have a conversation with God? I've had a couple in the past few weeks, like significant ones where I knew and know that he was speaking to me directly. Verse 10. I brought them up out of Egypt to this day, forsaking me and serving other gods. So also they are doing to you. Listen to this. Now then, listen to their voice only. God's saying, Samuel, just listen to their voice. Now mind you, Samuel, I'm back to God. Are you with me on this? The people came to Samuel, right? Samuel was like, hold up. Why would we want to go away from the king? Then he goes back to God and says, you won't believe this. He probably knew, right? You won't believe this. They want to go away from you. And God was like, well, of course, they've been doing it for years. Of course, some of us have been doing it for years. They want to go in a different direction. And God says, now then listen to their voice only. You shall solemnly warn them and show them the ways of the king who shall reign over them. I like this, okay? You want to have a little bit of fun, okay? You know, this was kind of like the pastoral exaggeration. God said, hey, go let them know what the king's going to be like. He didn't say, here's exactly what the king's going to be like. He said, you know how people are. Why don't you go tell them how people are and how they'll reign? Are you with me? So he got a chance to exaggerate. Now, if you go home, I'm not going to say today, but if you go home, you'll have a chance in the rest of that chapter there, that verse, to see what Samuel did. He went back and said, hey, listen, here's what this king is going to do. I know, like, God asked you to give, right? We have the hardest time with giving, okay? God asked you to give your 10% and give your, but you know what this king's going to do? This king's going to take it, and they're going to store it, because, you know, the other kingdoms, you know what they do with it, right? The king keeps it, and they store it in an actual storehouse, and they guard it, and they use it. And then they pass it to their family, and they eat the best fruits and the best food. You know how that works, right? I mean, come on now. None of us are at the level of, like, King Charles. You know that, right? Ain't none of us living like him. Okay, nobody wakes up and gives you, maybe they, I don't know, you might, they give you your clothes ready. It's been, all been ironed, including your underwear. You know what I'm saying? Like, we don't live like that. Are you with me? That's what was about to happen. They were about to take from the people and use for themselves. And on occasion, follow God and bless the people. But if we look at the kings throughout the Old Testament, oftentimes they did what? They drew in and used it for themselves. Samuel was like, why would you want to give to a king that doesn't even really know you? I mean, we're serving the king that, like, can handle all of you at one time. And y'all are a lot to handle. You know, right now we could stop. You could all go to prayer about something different. And guess what God can do? He can handle it. And he can take it, and he can work in it if you'll let him. And Samuel's like, he really knows you. This king's not really going to know you. You're going to be a subject. You're going to be, they didn't intimately create you. And so God gave him freedom to go to the people. And you know what they did? But. Y'all like but? Okay, I hope not. Anyway, but the people refused to listen to the voice of Samuel. They said, no, we are determined. So you know what? They were determined to what? Take the King of Kings, take the King of creation, take the King that knit them together, take the King that formed them, take the King that did all that they needed, and say, shoo, we'll take a new one. Are you determined to settle? Think about it. Some of us, we're just settling day in and day out. Well, I mean, there can't be more for me. Well, I mean, there can't, I mean, I'm doing all that. I mean, it's okay. That person's like, I mean, church, I've gone the distance to separate myself with people that I really love for the best of the kingdom of God in my life, my family, my realm of influence. And church, here they were getting ready to say, you know everything, you've provided, you've, but you know, over there it looks really good, and I think that we want that. And so let's take the divine, let's take the creator, let's take who actually loves you, and let's put him aside, and let's go to a king who will take from us, who will bring us to battle, who will not always have our best interest in mind. Let's just be honest. No matter how good the people are that love you, they don't always have your best interest in mind. and people that lead us don't always have our best interest in mind, and especially when we don't have the infilling of the Holy Spirit. And so talk about a pivotal moment in the life of really the created order. They said, we're determined to settle. We're going to let that drink settle, and we're going to drink it. And church, some of us are just letting things settle, and we're just drinking it. And we don't realize how rotten it really is until it's really consumed us. So are you determined not to settle? See, that's the key today. You should go out today saying, I'm determined not to settle. Second thing, these are deep points. Wait a minute. Isn't that deep? Y'all ain't awake. I feel really nervous. I felt nervous at first, feel nervous again. I'll start sweating, but you won't see it, okay? So that's a good thing. Wait a minute. They said, so they can govern us and go before us. So if you continue to read on the scriptures, they give some reasons why they want them, okay? This is mind-blowing. They say, you know what? We want them to govern us because somehow they'll know what's best for us, and they're going to know all that we need, and we want them to go fight our battles. Okay, so tell me that prophet didn't say, wait a minute. Have you ever been with some kids and just said, listen, wait a minute, I'm so tired of this nonsense. Just hold up, okay? Think about this for a second. When we settle, we remain in want. This is just the truth of the gospel. When you take the king out and you put something else in, you'll never feel right. Many of you are settling today for an identity, for a purpose, for a plan that you just can't seem to find full fulfillment in. It's because you're settling for less than God's best. And these people were saying, let's do it. So, what happened? I want you to think about this. So, you got your Bibles? Are you ready? I want you to go to chapter 9. So now, finally, Samuel says, I'm trying to journey you through the story. Finally, Samuel says, you know what? Okay, let's go find us a king. Now, here's what's crazy, okay? So he begins the journey to find the king, King Saul, right? The first king, King Saul. And along the way, there's this young boy. And here's what this young boy says to Saul. But he said to him, there is a man, Samuel. Can you say, when I say man, you say Samuel. When I say Samuel, you say man. Is that how that works? When I say, okay, y'all are just, oh, trying to have some fun. Okay. But he said to him, there is a man, there you go, of God in this town. He is a man held in honor, right? You forgot it. Samuel, okay. I'll try that again. There is a man of God in this town. He is a man held in honor. Get this. This is why I say, wait a minute. Whatever he says always comes true. Whatever he says always comes true. So wait a minute. You mean to tell me they came to him when he was old, right? And they said, we want a different king. Samuel goes to God. God says, well, just give them what they want. Okay? Samuel doesn't like it. And he goes on and begins to look for Saul. And then these people say, well, you know, whatever Samuel says comes true. Which tells you what? The king was there. When they needed a food, where was the king? There. When they needed their battles. Y'all know about Jericho? Jericho fought the battle. Da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. Y'all want me to just sing it? I mean, I'll wake you up, right? Think about this. There's multiple times. Think about the manna. God gave them exactly what they needed. And why am I using manna? Well, get me here. When they got the manna, they were living in what? Disobedience. So even in their disobedience, you know what God did? Threw some manna on the ground. It wasn't like you weren't getting stuffed. We like in America to get stuffed, right? We want big meals or the portions aren't big enough. We're like, this isn't, you know what I mean? It's $20. I only got a little, like, you watch those shows on TV and it's like, I don't know how, like, what would you do with that? You know, like a little pot here and y'all with me, and then they dot like the plate. I'm like, that's okay, honey, don't start watching that because I need food, okay? But right, we live in plenty. He gave them just enough for them to be fulfilled day in and day out, year after year, year after year. And then Samuel, everything Samuel said, guess what? It happened. Y'all know people like that? Come on now, we all fail at times, right? So not everything I say is going to happen. I may have a heart and a vision. It may not happen. Much of the time, it depends on your faithfulness, right? I can only go as far as you'll let me go. And God's saying, hey, if you'll So this young boy, which tells us that the news was widespread, this young boy knew that everything Samuel said came true, which means he's not a liar, which means who he is like listening to is real and it's happening. And then the boy says, oh, well, everything that guy says comes true. And Saul's like, oh, okay, let's go talk to him. And I'm like, wait a minute. Hello? The reason everything came true is because he truly served the King of Kings. So why in the world would you want an earthly king when the heavenly king has already provided everything you need? And we still live like that. Some of you in here today, you've got to be freed from that. You're still living in an Old Testament mindset, which is, I need a king. If they're not good enough, then I can't make it. They replaced the king that they themselves knew was providing everything they needed. So much so that the young boy, and when scripture says young, you know how young that is? 12 and under. So this ain't no old child. You know what I'm saying? This is a young boy. And he said, oh, go see, because everything he says comes true. Church, come on now. Talk about a pivotal moment in the life of humankind. We turned from the King of Kings and went to an earthly person. And we still wonder why man and woman disappoint us. Because they were never meant, right, to be our fulfillment. They're part of our relational order, but the King who created us was meant to fulfill us. And we're still looking for people. So what was their desire? Well, when you translate it, there were two things. They wanted domestic and international security. Okay. It's confusing, because when the walls dropped and the people ran, right? Remember, when you repeat the song to wake you up, right? The walls dropped. The people ran and they took the bounty. You know what bounty is? Like your stuff. I went and took it. You know what I'm saying? You dropped it and I took it. Like that. We don't like that, right? Okay. What do you mean? You want domestic and international peace and security? He already did that. He already went where you couldn't go. He already showed you that he was enough. But somehow, they had a desire. In church, sometimes we have desires that lead us away from the King and not towards the King. We have desires that, when we move away from the King, was the King ever good enough? Bible scholars in here, was the King ever good enough? No, it's why the King of Kings had to come on the scene as a man. Because there just wasn't a king good enough. And so sometimes our desires, come on now, church, sometimes your desires, they're getting in the way. And then you're coming to me and saying, well, I just don't really feel like, well, let's talk about what's in the way. Let's talk about who's the king. Let's talk about what's replacing. Let's talk about those feelings that maybe aren't from. And the bottom line is, wait a minute, he never left them in want, even in their disobedience. Talk about manna. We sing the song, honey in the rock, water in the rock. He provided water out of the rocks. He healed. He took walls and dropped them to the ground. The sun and the moon stood still. I mean, tremendous things. I could list all the things God did. And they said, eh, nah. Samuel, I think, if he were talking like me, he'd say, but wait a minute. You're going to give all that up. You're going to give all that security up, all that comfort up for one of me, another, like, I mean, I didn't create you. I don't know each of you by, I don't know your heart. I don't know your created order and design. Like, he does. And they said, eh. Nah. And then he said, well, here's what an earthly king will do. They'll take from you. Ever have somebody take from you? Come on now, someone's sitting right next to you still, right? You ever have somebody take advantage of you, hurt you, bother you, encourage you in the wrong way? He said, that's what you're going to get. I mean, there'll be some great moments, but there's going to be some really hard moments. Because they're still going to have that selfish what? Seed in them. So, last point. Everybody say amen. Amen. Settling each equals loss. It just does. When you settle, you lose. They settled for an earthly king, which meant they were about to come into a season of loss. That king couldn't know all the subjects. That king couldn't understand each person. That king couldn't do what the King of Kings could do. And basically, it comes down to a capacity issue, right? This building, it has capacity. That building has capacity. When we exceed it, you have to do something new. An earthly king only had enough capacity to intimately know the subjects of so many. Whereas the divine had a capacity to know and still knows everything about each one of you and has a desire to speak into every area of your life, of your heart, of your mind, of your heartache, of your... I mean, I could go on and on. When we settle, we lose. Well, let's just give some examples, okay? The first thing is capacity versus divine capacity. His capacity is huge. Now I'm going to shift. Are you ready? Jesus, okay? Talking about God, talking about Jesus. A little shift here. Jesus always spoke what? Truth. He had a way when he was walking on earth to just speak truth. And it caused the negative, it caused the nonsense, it caused the junk to what? To go away. When he spoke, people moved out of the way. Because when truth is spoke from the root of love, things happen. Jesus, yeah, he asked for more, but he gave more, right? He gave more than we could ever give. Jesus valued people more than any king in the Old Testament valued people. Come on now, he valued everyone from the lowest to the highest. If you would come to him, he would receive you. You could be lowered down on a roof. You could be walking and grab his cloak. You could be, he'll receive you. But I promise you, if we decided today we're going to get on buses to go see the president, I don't care what president it is. I don't care what party it is. I'm pretty sure we just drive up and do what? Turn back around and come home. Because no president has the capacity to. It's just not possible. But man, every person that we see in the Word that said, I'm going to go see Jesus, you know what he did? He saw them. He spoke into them. He moved in their life. Jesus was motivated by compassion. Jesus was motivated by, I knit you and I know where you could go. No earthly king is going to say, well, when I was knitting you together, I really thought this would be, like, this would be perfect for you. But you know what you're doing right now? You're settling and saying, well, I think I know what. Jesus forgave in a way that kings couldn't. His actions reflected that. His actions reflected mending broken relationships, friendships, hearts, minds. He kept his word. He acted with honesty. He took responsibility for his actions. He even took responsibility for past actions of priests and Sadducees that abused the system. And he said, this isn't right. This is right. This isn't how it should be. This is how it should be. No, stop doing that. I'm going to heal on the Sabbath. I'm going to move. I'm going to... And so, there's no other way to say it, but to say this. They went from allowing the king to be their king. And have fun. Read about all the things. Just Google. What did God do in the Old Testament through Moses, through Joshua, through the judges? And they said, let's shift that to the side, and let's look to, at that time, a man to fulfill, to give me security, to give us international security, local security, like God hadn't already done that, like God hadn't already moved in that way. And the bottom line is, I think in some respects, we're still living out a pattern that didn't work. And that pattern is, when the king comes and speaks, when the king comes and brings truth, we say, eh, I got over there. I mean, do you see what they, I mean, it, and then we take that which knits us together and puts it aside and we welcome in something else. It's an unfortunate pattern. It's been happening for a long time. And what's so sad about that is that it basically boils down to this. It boiled down to the way God's people perceived the success of the nations around them. So they saw the other, and for some reason they saw success. I looked at it this week and just studying like the other kingdoms and like the things that they saw were like the kings of that day, they stored up treasures. Now mind you, we store our treasures where? In heaven, if you know the Bible well, but they stored up treasures. You know where those treasures came from? Them, the people. They stole, they took, they... I mean, I could just go on and on. The destruction, the way they treated people. If you didn't address the king or the queen or the subjects correctly, you were out. They killed easily. It was just not good. And they looked at that and said, it is good. How often do we look at something outside and say, man, that looks good. And you know what we do then? The same thing that happened here. Our trajectory, our direction, where we're headed, changes. And you know what it does? It settles a little bit. It gets old. It gets rank. It gets not what it was originally created to be. And here's the kicker. You know how hard it is to take something that's all separated, settled, moldy, yucky, mix it back together and put it back to, whew. It's why sometimes we just have to spill it out and God has to say, let's start again. Church, he doesn't want us to start again. He wants us to say yes today. He wants us to say yes tomorrow. He wants us to say we're not going to settle. It's not okay. I don't want second best. What's funny is in real life, well, let's just go there, right? If a young girl comes to you and says, I'm really in love with so-and-so, okay? I've had this happen. That's why I'm using an example. Now, he's only hit me once. If my daughter comes to me and says, he only hit me once, I'm going to say, where is he? You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm just being real. If you're a boy in the youth group and you decide to, I'm going to find out where you are, and I'm sorry, I may not be here next Sunday. Because I care for her that much. We have a king that cares even more than that. We have a king that will vindicate you. We have a king that will step in if you'll draw in. What's funny is we don't let it in real life, but boy, do we let it in our spiritual life. There ain't one girl in here, if they come to me and say, he's hitting me, that I'm going to say, well, where is he? Does that make sense? And as Christians, we should say the same thing. Well, where is he? Let's take care of this now, and don't you ever go around him again. I don't care if he's forgiven. That's over. His hand went where it shouldn't have gone. But you know what we do in our walk with the Lord? Well, you know, I mean, I'm going to just go back for a second and see what, it might get better. It ain't going to get better. And I'm not saying like no forgiveness. That's not where I'm at. But you know, sometimes we have to draw the line and we say we're not going to go there because there's something better, because I'm a child of the King. And then when you start living like the child of the king, other people who are on the outside living there and not getting fulfilled, they're like, why are you so like content? Well, because the King of Kings came in and he changed me and I'm recognizing who I am. I'm recognizing the beauty in who I am. I'm recognizing the beauty in how God created me. And then all of a sudden you begin to unsettle settling areas. You should be unsettling settled areas. You're about to encounter them today, tomorrow, Tuesday, Wednesday. And you should be shaking things up. But see, the problem is some of us, We're separated. We're settled already. So how can we unsettle? So the question today as we go, where are you? Are you just settling for like what's good in the day? Well, you know, that's not good for eternity. That's not really good for tomorrow. There is so much more. So today, my word for you as you go out and as you think every day is don't settle. Why are you settling? Who convinced you to settle? Stop settling. Say, hold on. Wait a minute. This isn't God's best. And I don't want to be in loss. I want to be in plenty. And so, when you think this week, this decision might be a settling decision, you need to say in your mind, hold on. I'm a child of the King of Kings. And I ain't going to substitute what the King of Kings has for me. Boy, if we became those kind of people, talk about change makers, we would be it. But they settled and started y'all that know the Bible, started a long train that took a long way around to get back to the King of Kings. So, if you're going to settle, say, hold on, wait a minute, and get with somebody that's going to say to you, don't settle. Don't do what we do as humans. We go to the people that are just going to agree. Get away from them. Go to the people that are going to say, no, you're right. Stand up, move on. Get rid of them. That's enough. Let's go. Don't go to the people that are just going to appease you. Well, you know, I don't want to offend you. I want to be your friend. Maybe you want to be a spiritual friend and say, no, you're right. Let's get out and let's get up. And let's go. And let's stop. Those people didn't listen. Even after he said, you know what a real king's going to look like here on earth? We got a real king. Don't settle. God, we thank you for this day. God, we thank you today that we get to serve the King of Kings who genuinely cares about us, who genuinely has compassion, mercy for us. Today, God, I pray that we as a people, when we step out of here, we would step into your fullness, into your goodness, into your wholeness, into your newness, and that we wouldn't substitute anything for you. God, let us be a people that aren't okay with second best, with substitutions, with living a life of just being settled. We love you. We praise you. Be with us as we go out. Continue to encounter our hearts, our minds, change and challenge us. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you all. Have a great afternoon. Thank you for joining us.